I talk about Orphan Black just keeps like just.
It's on Prime.
The first season's on Prime.
And I should do that, but you know, when it comes down to watching an episode of Orphan Black or continually chronicling the U.S. men's national soccer team, that's just where I gotta go.
Season, like, it just, it's so unfair because it's one of the, I've never seen a TV show that I feel like is just showing off every week. Because every episode is fucking the best episode you've ever seen.
Have you ever seen Hot in Cleveland?
And they just keep elevating it. But it's like her acting alone is worth showing off. But then it's like, okay, if the acting's not enough to marvel out, let's have two fucking clones with a mirror over there and shot straight on. So not only do you not see the camera in the mirror, but you have the same fucking actress acting face-to-face in the fucking mirror, touching each other. It's fucking insane. Like, it's the most insane thing I've ever seen. Like, the show, it's just, it's showing off. Like, it's so good, it's just showing off at this point. Like, it's just putting shit out there and being like, fuck you, you can't do this. We can, so we're going to. It's so fucking good. Watch season one just so you can catch up on season two, because it's fucking brilliant.
I almost feel like now I'm just doing it out of spite.
It's so fucking
I'm not
good.
Doing it out of spite.
Thing is I talk about that show with everybody. Nobody watches it. Like, this dude Christopher at work, after every Saturday that I watch it, it's like, dude, fucking Orphan Black last night. He doesn't watch it.
There's probably a reason for that.
And he's just doing it out of spite, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think you inspire that in people.
Oh, it's just so fucking good.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. It's the story of a man, a woman, and a rabbit in a triangle of trouble. This is the podcast of a man, myself, Ryan, and another man, Dave.
I call dibs on the rabbit.
I just called you another man. Oh. But okay, so it's me, a man, Dave, a rabbit, and a, I don't know, line segment of information coming your way. For starters, who doesn't like a good contest? Our tagline contest for this week. It's the story of a man, a woman, and a rabbit in a triangle of trouble. If you think you know what movie that tagline belongs to, we'd love to hear about it in the following ways. Via the email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send your guess to us in a tweet at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, if you are correct. And if we choose you, you can join the growing but still very exclusive Movies on Up Prize Patrol winner contest. I don't know. I feel like a Prize Patrol, I might get sued by another Publishers Clearinghouse people. If any of them were still alive. I think, I don't know. They drive around with like a minivan and balloons. We just have like, well, you've got a minivan.
I do have a minivan.
I'll buy the balloons. All you guys need to do is enter, and you can do that in any of the ways that I just mentioned. If you think you know what movie the tagline, it's the story of a man, a woman, and a rabbit in a triangle of trouble belongs to. That movie, not on our list of our favorite animated features. You could make the argument that it belongs on here, but I think Dave and I are in accordance that it is not necessarily an animated feature, so it doesn't belong on our list, although it is a movie that we both like. This list, I think, went through about 5 different changes. Originally, you know, it came into being because this week in the theaters is How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Zwei,
yes, Dos.
That's Korean.
Via our Korean correspondent.
He's Texas correspondent now.
Ah, Jesus. No, we need another foreign correspondent. So, Zane, you're fired. If there's anybody else listening to this podcast in not the United States, Canada doesn't count. So any actual legitimate foreign country, let us know, because we now have an opening for foreign correspondent. I digress. How to Train Your Dragon 2 comes out in theaters this week. I happen to like the first one, so we got to thinking, what about family movies? And then Dave decided we needed to narrow that down.
And I said, wait, we can do like 4 episodes. So it's like a set of family movies. What about animated family movies?
What about animated sequels?
Computer animated movies. Animated sequels. I'm trying to come up with as many lists as possible.
And I'm trying to just make it easier on myself.
See, I think that it's easier on me. If I can narrow it down to 10 movies and I only have to pick 5 of them for a list, sign me up.
Oh, yeah, it's just easier for me, like, if it's really broad and I can just be like, all right, I love these movies. This is my list, which is kind of what happened. I had 4 that came to mind. They all got on the list, and then it was like, nah, what do I want to do for number 5? Luckily, you get to go with your number five first.
My number five from 2007, directed by Kevin Monroe, written by Kevin Monroe. Follow some characters that are true and dear to my heart, and I will see and probably love any incarnation of these characters that does not involve Michael Bay. It is TMNT. I loved it because it was...
Was that the one with SMG as well?
Yes, yeah, she was April.
Bury the lead on that one.
And Chris Evans is Casey Jones. Like, it's... I love this as an idea because everybody knows who the Ninja Turtles are. They hadn't been in the theater since, when was the third one that never happened? 92 or 93 or 95?
I feel like it was after that.
It didn't happen, so I don't really care.
Oh, look.
Instead of rebooting, which we're so keen to do now, it was just, hey, here's characters you know and love. Here they are at a different point in their life. So I love that it took that approach. Just like, I don't need a Batman origin story every time you want to make a Batman movie. I don't need a Spider-Man origin story or Superman every time you want to make a new movie. We don't get a new Bond origin story every three movies. So I like the idea that it just picked up where, you know, where it left off. You knew these characters, and it just, here they are in a new adventure. Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't perfect, but it was in between. I didn't like the series that ran around 2000, but it was good. It had a lot of good one-liners. It had Patrick Stewart's voice. It had Chris Evans, Sarah Michelle Gellar. And it was a cool, like, take on it. Like, yeah, they were saving the city again after not being needed for a while. But, I mean, at the heart of it, it was still Ninja Turtles.
Sean Austin. He was in there, too.
Mm-hmm. And he's also in the new one, the Nickelodeon one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But
incidentally, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, if it would have happened, it would have happened in 1993.
Okay, so I was close. But yeah. I just liked it. I like the idea that it's just, okay, here's characters you know. We're going to throw it out there. I wish it would have done a little bit better because then we could have got more of them and then Michael Bay wouldn't have stepped in and felt the need to do anything. But it had its moments. There's some good, again, some good jokes, some good stuff. But ultimately, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it'd be hard for me not to love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I can't really have a list.
This is coming from a man that is right now wearing a Raphael t-shirt.
I am wearing a Raphael t-shirt. Like, if I could pick a Ninja Turtle movie, I tried to go theatrical release. Turtles Forever would be over this one. That's the one where the 2000 series that I didn't like met the Turtles from the 80s series.
The 87
and then
series, which
and then
was
they
awesome.
Went, yeah, and then they went back to the original comic book series. If you haven't seen Turtles Forever yet, watch it. It's the only good thing to come out of that 2000 run of Turtles. Phenomenal movie. But watch that and TMNT back to back. Plenty of Turtles Forever.
I think it's interesting the way that you just wanted to put Turtles in here. And that's the only way you could have done it, because that's the only animated Turtles movie. I think it's completely forgettable.
Not for me.
Not for you. Then again, I'm not wearing a Raphael t-shirt.
Winners, more like fall. That's the best line of that whole movie. It's so just funny. Like, it's such a Michelangelo movie. I love it.
He loves it. I like my number five. I did have a hard time trying to come up with a number five. Like I said, four movies came to mind immediately. Spoiler alert, those are my next four. For my fifth, I had some of the usual suspects, all of which I've mentioned before. No, I take that back. Most of which I've mentioned before and will mention later in the also-rans. So I just kind of wanted to go completely off the reservation on this one. I like it a lot. Not so much because it's a great movie, but because it's a really neat movie to look at. If you happen to be cleaning the house or, I don't know, doing some computer work and you need something every now and again to just look away from the screen, this is kind of a cool movie that you can put on in the background. Your kids can be wandering around and it's fine. It's an Irish movie, very stylized Irish movie from 2009 called The Secret of Kells, directed by Tom Moore and Nort Twomney, starring Evan Maguire, Brendan Gleeson, and Mick Lally. It's kind of a throwback here. It's traditional 2D animation, but like I said, done in a very unique style. All of the characters have their own stylized look. They're shaped different to help denote between this particular monk or that particular monk. They all have a very different look. The colors in the movie are very vibrant, and it's a movie about the creation of this book, which is supposed to bring light to darkness and be very artistic and vibrant in and of itself. So it makes sense that the rest of the movie would kind of follow that tone. Sometimes I like to call movies color forms. I don't really know why I've chosen that moniker, because it's not like the color form action sets that we used to have back in the day. But I think it's just mostly because they're pretty to look at, not unlike just a picture. And I would say that that applies very much to The Secret of Kells. Plus, I'll give it a little bit of a nod because very, very loosely based on fact, there actually is a Book of Kells, which is located in Ireland. It's a pretty rad book that folks, I guess, tourists go to look at, and they only display like one page for 2 weeks and then they flip it. So there's an actual Book of Kells. If you want to see it, you can do that or just check The Secret of Kells out on Netflix. Cheaper.
I love Brendan Gleeson.
I know you do.
I have not seen this movie. My number four, it's hard to talk about animated movies, to be completely fair, without mentioning Hayao Miyazaki. He's just been such a force in animation for 40 years now. 30 years.
Are you doing the math?
Yes. About 30 years now.
1984 would be 30 years.
Yeah, roughly that. Okay. But my favorite, you got Kiki's Delivery Service, Spirited Away, the one about the house that floats, all that stuff. My favorite is 1988's My Neighbor Totoro. Very, very good movie, and it stands true for everything. His movies are so visually appealing, and the stories are great. They're basically, I'm going to say kids' movies for adults, but not in the way that, oh, there's stuff in here adults like. No, it's kids' movies that are kids' movies, but they're treating them as mature adults. Every one of them has a social, says something about society and about maturity and the loss of innocence that comes with growing up. And My Neighbor Totoro does that perfectly. It's the two sisters moving to be near their mother who is dying that meet fantastical creatures in the woods, including Totoro, and just them.
Who is their neighbor.
Yes, just them growing up with that. And it's such a good movie. And even now, like I said, that movie would be 26 years old, I believe.
Give or take.
Give or take. And, I mean, there's a reason that Miyazaki he's hard to think of animation without thinking about him. And it's because, like, of movies like this, like Kiki's, like Spirited Away, like all of those. There was one just a couple years ago that was really good. I don't think that was the Flying House one. It was a different one. But he does really good stuff.
Oh, he's Flying House. That was
yeah,
it.
And Howl's Moving Castle. That's what it was. Yeah,
that's what it was.
And they're just really good. And
is that an Oscar winner?
It was at least an Oscar nominee. Yeah, I don't think it won. I think Pixar won. But they're just really, really good movies that say a lot. There's something that you're not just watching it to be entertained. And your kids will get something from it. You'll get something from it. It's just they're just really good. They're just really mature kids' movies. And My Neighbor Totoro is my favorite of the bunch.
You're right. Just nominated for an Oscar in 2006.
8 years ago.
Well, the movie released in 2004, but
10 years ago.
Yes.
I'm a math whiz.
In Asia, it took a little bit for it to come over here. Fair enough. I think it's interesting that you mentioned Miyazaki as a name that you can't necessarily overlook when you talk about animation. My number four is from a name that you cannot overlook when it comes to animation, and that is Walter Disney. This is, in fact, a Disney flick directed by Rich Moore, starring John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, and Jack McBrayer. It is 2012's Wreck-It Ralph. Now, you know your company is pretty baller when folks, and I'm hoping that other folks are in this category, not just myself, assume that because something is really, really good, that your company is responsible. And for me, that was the case here with Pixar. Turns out that the studio that has been making animated features since 1937, the same studio that had cranked out The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King not too long ago, hadn't completely forgotten how to do animation. I would argue that since the heyday of the Disney-Pixar marriage in 1995 with Toy Story, up until really about the last year, that of course being 2013, the best animation that came out of Disney Studios by far was Pixar. Though I would make the argument for that switch starting a year earlier with Wreck-It Ralph. I thought it was a better movie than Brave. Didn't win the Oscar, so apparently other people didn't agree with me. But I love me some Wreck-It Ralph. I saw this movie in theaters with two other grown men, and we all loved it. Plenty of throwback video game references for the adults, and a really cool story about being yourself. It is the perfect family movie, as I see it. The kids want to see it because it plays to the kids. But you can also, as an adult, have a great time watching it and you don't regret dropping $40 to get the whole family in the theater. And I don't really go out of my way to say nice things about Sarah Silverman, but I thought she was perfect for the character in the movie. A lot of the casting I thought was dead on. I'm not a giant John C. Reilly fan, but I thought he was awesome as Ralph. It was a really, really well-done movie. I had high expectations going into it, and it delivered. I mean, that's the first time I can say that about a Disney movie in quite a while.
We talked about it a lot last year about, like, oh, can Disney get away from Pixar and be
can
successful?
Disney.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Can Disney get away from Pixar and be successful? Because they have so much success together. Wreck-It Ralph laid the foundation, and then Frozen just kind of crushed any questions you could ever have with its success. But I loved Wreck-It Ralph. I thought the casting was perfect. I like Sarah Silverman. I loved Alan Tudyk's performance in it. I thought he was brilliant. Like, it's a fun. There were enough nods in there for people our age to be like, if we have kids, like, all right, we'll watch it with it. Like, my kids love it. I enjoy it enough. It didn't make my list just because I was cutting so much stuff off, but it was definitely one that came up. My number three was also nominated for an Oscar in 2012, directed by Chris Butler and Sam Fell, written by Chris Butler. It's Paranorman. I had trouble picking between. I knew I wanted Paranorman or Coraline on the list.
So you got to throw the nod to AK.
It wasn't just Anna Kendrick. It was just that everything about this movie I loved. Like, I love Coraline. I love the book. I love the movie. But I feel like as a movie, Paranorman was just a little bit better for everything it said as far as be yourself, like, don't let people call you weird, the gay character, like, all that. Everything about it, I felt it just was bundled together more nicely. Plus, Anna Kendrick doesn't hurt. Cody Smith McPhee, Christopher Mintz Pass, and Casey Affleck. The casting was great. The visuals were cool. And just everything about this movie I loved. Like, visually, I don't think it's as stunning as Coraline, because I think Coraline was something special visually. And as much as I love Neil Gaiman, I feel like Paranorman just, for the medium of movies, I felt like Paranorman was better. I'm going to sit down and watch this movie with my kids.
Yeah, I think the kids would enjoy that more.
Coraline was more for me. I do love Coraline, but I don't watch it with the kids. Paranorman we'll still watch every once in a while because they love it, and it's just such a good movie. And I love that it got an Oscar nom because it kind of snuck in under the radar because it was Frank and Weenie that year, and it was definitely the better of those two. But I just love Paranorman. Yeah, Anna Kendrick doesn't hurt, but it had a lot more to do with it than just her.
My number three, I talked a lot about Disney and their relationship with Pixar, so I guess it's really only natural that my number three would be a Pixar joint. It is from 2009. It's Up, directed by Pete Docter and Bob Peterson, starring Ed Asner, Jordan Nagani, Christopher Plummer. This is kind of a weird movie. If you think about what it's about and when it came out in 2009, which is coming right off the heels of the credit crisis of 2008, where lots of people were actually losing their houses. Now, as far as I know, their houses weren't floating away, but this movie starts off incredibly heavy, but very impactful. You've got somebody kicking the bucket right in the first reel, as they say. There's a simple assault. There's an involuntary committal to a nursing facility, minus, you know, the floating house attached to the balloons. If you were to tell me that was a plot for a movie, I don't think that anyone would assume that would be, oh, absolutely, that's a kid's movie. And I'm not sure it is. What I think Pixar does almost all the time, and what I think Disney did really, really well in my number four, is create a great animated movie. It's not a kid's movie or even necessarily a family movie. Up is a great movie that happens to be animated. End of story. And I think that Asner's Carl is the stereotypical curmudgeon, but from the beginning of the movie, it establishes him as a character that you care about, and it makes him relatable and lovable, and you genuinely care about all of the main characters, whether it's the dog, whether it's the little fat kid, whether it's the old dude. It's
Squirrel.
Or whether you care about the squirrel. I really, really liked the movie. I didn't expect to. Some of the Pixar stuff, you know, you have the expectation because it's Pixar. And very rarely do they let you down, if ever. I mean, you can make the instance here or there, you know, they maybe, you know, dribble one down the first base line. They can't all be home runs. But I think Up really shocked the hell out of me. I thought it was a tremendous movie. Again, I don't think of it necessarily as a family movie, but yeah, you'd show your kids that movie because they love the dog, the talking dog. Who doesn't love that? And who doesn't love movies about a guy who's going to lose his house?
Whose wife dies.
Spoiler alert. Whoa.
What Pixar does so great and why they're... I've been trying not to... This list... The hardest part about making this list was how do I just not slob on Pixar the whole time? Because I could easily do a five... One through five could be Pixar movies. Absolutely.
And they would deserve it.
Yeah. And they absolutely... I mean, we could do an... I would not be opposed to doing an episode top five Pixar movies because we could do it. There'd be some differences there. But where I think they're the best is when they do get ambitious because... Okay, here's a bunch of toys that are talking when the kids are around. Sounds like a family movie. Here's a couple fish that, you know, swim through the ocean. Sounds like a family movie.
Here's a robot that doesn't talk.
Exactly. A robot that doesn't talk. A guy who doesn't want to lose his house. A woman that turns her mom into a bear. Like, I think, I mean, I love Brave. I know you didn't like Brave. I like Brave a lot.
I didn't like it. I like Wreck-It Ralph more.
I like Up. I have a crush on Merida. I like Up and The Incredibles. Like, that was – Incredibles might be my second favorite Pixar movie ever is how much I loved it. But they're just so good when they're just making a movie. And it's not – you know, half their movies don't sound like plots to children's movies because they're not really worried about that. They're just worried about making great movies. And nobody's doing it as well as them except Disney branching off now and being able to make movies on their own to where – because, I mean, Pixar, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them. Because when they do the easy ones, like, oh, here's a bunch of cars that talk.
Here's a, I mean, and Monsters U made quite a bit of money.
And it was terrible.
Fine. Yeah, it wasn't great. But, I mean, I was looking at it today. The movies, when Disney Pixar were a thing, starting with Toy Story, like, you can tell in most years there were two. There was the Disney movie and there was the Pixar movie. I listed that run from, like, 89 with Little Mermaid through 94 with The Lion King, where every year you could probably name the Disney movie because it was a big deal. But when Disney Pixar was around, the big deal was the Pixar movie, and people forget about, oh, yeah, Tarzan.
Yeah.
Meet the Robinsons.
Pixar fell into that sequel trap where, and that's where, like, Brave and Up and Wall-E, those are really good movies that I don't really scream, I don't really think scream franchise. Monsters U, Cars, like, I understand you. The
Finding Dory.
Yeah, I understand the temptation. But, I mean, they do really good movies, including my number two movie from 2003. It is Finding Nemo. Of all the movies I've seen in my life and all the movies I've seen multiple times, Finding Nemo, I probably have seen this movie more than anything in the world. I watch it on my own. My daughters love it. My middle daughter, Talia, asks for it every day, and I oblige as much as I can. Like, everything about this movie is just, it's perfect. Like, it's so good. Ellen, I've always had a soft spot for Ellen. I've always adored Ellen, and she's so great in this movie. The story, I mean, just the story is compelling enough about a dad finding his son. But you go back to Up, about, like, oh, you see this couple grow old together, and then she dies. Finding Nemo doesn't even waste time letting them fall in love. It's just, hey, we're very much in love. We have all these hundreds of children. Let's kill them all except one, including the wife. Just everybody dies right off the bat except Nemo and his dad. Spoiler alert. And it's so...
Can it be a spoiler if it's like the first 5 minutes of the movie?
From 11 years ago.
Yeah,
it's such a brutal, like, beginning, but it's so good. And just the character growth. And that's where Pixar does so good. I mean, they give you a robot that didn't talk for the whole movie, but grew as a character. Like, you can't do that. That's not... Who does that? Like, who can pull that off? Not many people.
Pixar.
And, yeah. Because you have the dad who grows as a character from being overprotective because of this tragedy. You have the child who's been sheltered and doesn't really have anything, who grows into a big thing. You have Dory, who's just so lonely that grows because of... Even have Willem Dafoe, who I think Willem Dafoe is so underrated in this movie because he comes in and he's so good. Just his role is so good. And
he's pretty much a real-life cartoon character anyway.
He is, but, I mean, he's so perfect for this movie. And just everything about this movie is so good, and I've seen it probably 100 some times. I'll see it probably 1,000 more times before I leave this planet.
Before you get eaten by a shark.
Yeah, because it's so good, and it's – It's absolutely perfect. Like, I'd be fine. I mean, it doesn't need a sequel. I'll see the crap out of Finding Dory, though, just because, like, I love this movie so much. Like, I don't need the sequel, but I'd be lying if I said I have no interest in it, just because, like, I loved Ellen in it. I loved everything about this movie. So you want to give me more of that? Like, I feel like it won't have the magic of this, but I'll still see it just in the hopes that it does, because I still do trust Pixar, even after Cars and Cars 2 and, you know, Monsters U. Like, there's still some trust there with Pixar.
I think they've built up a sizable credit in most people's mind.
Yeah. I mean, they're Danny Boyle to me as far as animated movies are. I'll see anything Danny Boyle does.
Pixar is the Danny Boyle
of animated movies. Yeah. So
they like to show penis in their animated movies.
Yep. And Bush.
My number two.
Pubes. Anything pube related. Pixar is all about it.
My number two. It's very hard for me to say anything bad about this movie because, in fact, everything is awesome. It is the Lego Movie, directed by Phil Lord, Chris Miller, starring a ton of people, not the least of which Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett. So many cameos in this movie. It's worth a trip down IMDb lane after you watch it because you're bound to have missed one or 12. And I would absolutely love to see a Lego Justice League movie starring Will Arnett, Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, Colby Smulders. How great would that be? I want to see that more than the actual Justice League or Batman versus Superman that we're going to get. And I think the mantra, we talk about like some themes there are in kids' movies or family movies, whatever, that everyone is special. It's not hidden at all in this movie. That for about the first two-thirds of it, that's absolutely what it's about. But I think it's rather tongue-in-cheekily addressed with Chris Pratt's character thinking he actually is the most interesting special person in the world. And then you get a bonus lesson during the live-action scenes that it's just about using your imagination and there's no right or wrong way to just have fun, which I think is so fitting with Lego in general. I absolutely loved this movie. Dave saw it before. I think you saw it in the theater, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw it opening week. Opening day, I took the girls because I'd promised them to see it.
Yeah, I had come to it much later, but after hearing Dave talk about how great it was, a lot of times that can kind of overinflate your expectations of a movie.
Or a TV show, like Orphan Black or something that I talk about a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen Orphan Black, but I did go see the Lego Movie and I absolutely loved it. Thinking there was no possible way I could like it as much, or it could be as good as Dave said it is. It is. It's probably better.
It's better, and I left this. This was very, very close to being my number one, just because I might like it more than every movie on my list. But then I realized, like, oh, we do the halftime show in July, to where we do our favorite movies of the first of the year, and I'm going to rave about this movie and that because
I'll do it then too.
It's probably my favorite movie of the year so far, and it's going to be tough to top. It's really going to be everything about it's perfect. And
everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. I hope they win an Oscar for that song. Andy Samberg would be halfway to an EGOT after that. But even the Batman song was great. Like everything about it, the jokes are so good, and Phil Lord and Chris Miller they're untouchable right now. And that's why when they were rumored to Ghostbusters, it's like,
they're
yes,
the Danny Boyle of
everything
writing
now.
And directing.
Yes. Things. Because I mean, after Lego Movie was huge, I read a review about 22 Jump Street just today saying like, if Miller and Lord keep it up, somebody's going to whack them for making the rest of Hollywood look lazy because they're just so good at everything they're doing. The combination of this movie was perfect. Chris Pratt was great. Elizabeth Banks was great. Liam Neeson. I wish there were awards for voice performances because he was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I would not be opposed to Liam Neeson winning any kind of award for his performance as Good Cop, Bad Cop. Like, he was awesome in that movie. And then Will Arnett just stole the show. Like, every Batman scene.
Batman's
just
a great character. I don't think I've ever said that in the history of anything before. But
every scene with Batman in it, Will Arnett just stole it. Like, he stole that whole movie. And it's, if you haven't seen the Lego Movie yet, I'm sorry. Like, change that immediately, please, because it's so joyous. Like, it's impossible to just not have a blast watching it.
And even if you don't have kids, like,
I don't care.
Right.
See it. Like, it's so fun.
You'll enjoy the hell out of it. If you're a human being.
The jokes are so funny. And I just absolutely love this movie. And it was very, very close to my number one. But my number one, I went with the obvious one. Basically, the reason Ryan suggested this list. I love 1985's The Black Cauldron from Disney. It's one of Disney's more lesser known. I don't know if lesser known or underrated or whatever. It's not one of the classics. But it came out in 85, right before their string of that Ryan talked about with Aladdin, The Lion King, Emperor's New Groove, all that stuff. Black Cauldron, it wasn't a musical. It didn't have the fun music in it. It didn't really have the funness to it. Like, it was a darker movie.
It's kind of like Disney's version of Lord of the Rings.
Kind of, yeah. And it was darker. Like, for a Disney movie, I mean, the book it's based on wasn't a super happy book, but Disney did a fantastic job adapting it. And it's about a boy and his pig, like, long before Babe. It's so good. Like, everything about this movie, I don't know what it is that it, I don't know why exactly it holds such a special place in my heart, because I remember going, I would have been 6 years old. I remember going to the theater to see this movie. I remember everything about the day we saw this movie and how much I loved it. I remember how excited I was when it was released on VHS, because it took a while for it to come out on VHS. It took even longer for it to come out on DVD. I remember buying two copies the day it came out just because I wanted it that bad. I couldn't find it, so I wanted two copies in case something happened. I gave my nephew a copy of it. I've watched it with my kids already. I watched it with friends' kids that I used to babysit. Like,
I watched it with strangers' kids.
I'll watch it with anybody's kids. You have kids, send them over. We'll watch Black Cauldron. I don't care. I love this movie, and it's hard because it is dated. It is 1985. It doesn't have the songs and the energy of your classics like Snow White and Cinderella. So it's the animation, it's hard. It is dated. My kids aren't as into it as I am. And even me, if I'm a little drowsy, this style of animation just kind of puts me to sleep. But it's so good. And it's just a good movie from front to back. And it's dark. Like I said, it's dark for a Disney. I mean, there's a sacrifice. Like, that's how he sacrifices himself. Like, spoiler alert. But it's just such a good movie, and I just absolutely adore it.
The pig does that.
I'm not saying.
Sacrifices himself. The pig sacrifices himself.
I'm not saying. I'm not confirming or denying that.
Absolutely.
I love the movie so much, and I wish it was bigger as a Disney movie. Like, I just wish it was one of the classics, so I don't seem crazy when I rave about my favorite Disney movie being Black Cauldron.
I think it just says a lot about you as a person, and I knew when we had this list that your number one was going to be The Black Cauldron, but I was secretly hoping that you would make it your number two and Lego Movie would have been your number one.
It was very close.
Then I could have just
stole the thunder,
yes,
from it.
And that's why I wanted to host this one, thinking how glorious it would be if I could just, because you would have no choice. You couldn't change it.
Oh, I could change it.
I guess you could have, but it's not like you could have moved Lego Movie down at that point. You'd had to completely take it off your list. And I guess the best laid plans of mice and men, what can I say? My number one, I'll say a couple things about this movie, because that's typically what we do when we do these lists.
It is a movie discussion show.
It is a movie discussion show, and it is
discussions require saying things,
right,
about stuff.
It's also an animated movie, which is the theme of this particular discussion episode. It's very hard to wind up a trilogy. I think it's also even harder to be better than the original. My number one, I believe, does both of those things with flying colors. It is 2010's Toy Story 3, directed by Lee Unkrich, starring Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and Joan Cusack. The first Toy Story, as I mentioned, came out in 95. I was in fifth grade. It was about 11 years old. And I feel like I kind of grew up with the franchise and with the character of Andy. And I'm not going to lie, in 2010, I may have gotten a little teary at the ending. Now, just as a thought exercise in your head, run down the last film in a series. Just think of movies that have ended series.
Gremlins 2, A New Batch.
Yes. Think of, you know, maybe the last book in a series or the finale of a TV show. How many times after watching or reading these things, have you been ready to rip off an angry letter to somebody? How could you possibly end XYZ in this manner? It's disgusting. Damn it, I'm going to get a petition so we get one more episode so you can fix everything I didn't like about this particular ending. I think Toy Story 3 ends the series perfectly. So well, in fact, that I really hope there isn't another one. There doesn't need to be. The characters are all absolutely where you want them to be. It's beautiful. It's passing the torch. It's tremendous. But if there is going to be a sequel, I think I'd be okay if John Lasseter writes it. When it comes to Toy Story, or when it comes to Pixar, I mean, the first Cars was good. He wrote that. I guess he's kind of like, if Pixar is like the Danny Boyle of animation, he is like the Danny Boyle of Pixar. So it's the snake eating its tail. It's my number one. It's my favorite animated movie of all time. It's Toy Story 3. Dave, did you have any also-rans?
I did. I have also-rans, and I have a listener-submitted list that we'll get to. My also-rans, if you would have stolen my thunder on Lego Movie, I would have just replaced it with Despicable Me. Despicable Me, I adore.
Really
I
like good movie.
I love the second one. I love them both. They both make me happy. But I love it, but I didn't leave it. I left it off. Lego Movie was there. Coraline. The Incredibles, which I name dropped. The Iron Giant was very hard to leave off. We talk about the Danny Boyle of Pixar. I think Brad Bird would have something to say about that, too. Iron Giant was really good. Some of Vin Diesel's finest work. But I really like that. And then Over the Hedge was kind of an under-the-radar animated movie from 2004 or so, maybe five or so. I don't know when it was from, but it was really funny. Like, it's just about a bunch of Bruce Willis leading a bunch of...
He's the raccoon, right?
Yeah, forest animals to steal food from this gated community. And it was great. There's a lot of good jokes in it. It was really, really funny. Did you have any also-rans?
I did. WALL-E, it's probably my favorite Pixar movie, but I talk about that a lot. So I wanted
That's
to leave it.
It was hard because, like I said, we could each fill it with five Pixars easily.
Yeah, and I think Incredibles probably would have made both of our lists.
Incredibles would have been – I would probably – yeah, Incredibles would be right behind Finding Nemo. As much as I love Finding Nemo, Incredibles is right there.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I've talked about that one enough, so I left it. It's not like nobody is aware of Toy Story 3.
That's why I didn't want – I tried to keep it one Pixar movie on my list just because
– yeah, I just couldn't.
I knew so. They would come up.
Whatevs. The rest of my also-rans are animated movies, but they're not exactly family movies. South Park – one of my favorite animated movies. That's not necessarily a family movie unless your family is all over the
age
of 17.
See, I had South Park and Akira, but I thought we were just doing family movies, so I left them off. Well, South Park, Akira.
You would have been wrong. The Simpsons movie.
Simpsons movie.
I adore, and it probably could have, would have, should have made my list at least at number five, but I feel like I've talked about the Simpsons movie, so I at least wanted to go at least one that was off the radar. This one would have been a great off-the-radar pick at number five. It's not a family movie. It's a Scanner Darkly. It's computer animated. I like that movie a lot.
Waking Life came up in my thought process, but I hate both of them.
Fair enough. I like Scanner Darkly, so I would like to have put that on there, but then I didn't want to upset the apple cart and have nine family movies and then that one. And I also love, unabashedly, the original Transformers movie. I may have cried during Toy Story 3. You bet your ass I cried during the Transformers movie.
He comes back.
Not in that one.
No. Tyler, listener Tyler Moliterno. I probably pronounced that wrong, but
he's got a podcast.
He hosts a podcast that talks about animation. Every week they do an episode on whether it be a show or a movie or something. I've guested on there last Oscar season.
Were you talking about Ninja Turtles?
I wanted to do Ninja Turtles, but I guess they have a lot of people that want to do Ninja Turtles. But they have a show called Generation Animation. I believe it's generationanimation.com. His top five, number five, The Road to El Dorado. Number four, Wreck-It Ralph. Number three, The Lego Movie. Number two, The Incredibles. And number one, one that we didn't talk about, I enjoy it, but I didn't love it, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That's Miller and Lord again. So that was kind of their kicking off point. But so that's Tyler. Listen to Generation Animation if you're really into animated stuff because they cover the whole gamut there.
And I guess, yeah, if you liked what you heard here, those fellas probably a bit more knowledgeable in the animation than we are. I know what I like, and it was pretty easy for me to do this list. I'd love to hear your favorite animated flicks if you are a parent of children and you have some that you like to show your kids, I am willing to take some suggestions for when I eventually impregnate a woman and have her squeeze out a kid. I'm going to have movies to watch. And like, I've got The Thing, Empire Strikes Back, like queued. Those are ready to go. So if you want to like submit something to be the third movie that my kid watches, you know, let me know. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at moviesonup on the Twitter, or interact with us via the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. moviesonup.com, your home for all things Movies on Up. Check that out as well. We haven't asked for a while for iTunes reviews. Those are grand. If you want to leave one, you don't even really have to write anything. You can, and that would be cool. Or you can just leave us a 5-star review or whatever star you believe is fair. That would be cool too. I guess it helps us out somehow. I don't really know. I don't think it doesn't put any money in our pockets, but you know, whatever. Take 30 seconds. Do it. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week,
keep it up.